We've been talking about the Holy Spirit here at High Point Church this year, and we're currently on a series that I'm calling The Leading of the Holy Spirit, and we have come to find out that being led by the Holy Spirit is one of the most important things you and I can ever learn in the Christian life. And it's for this reason that many people are not led by the Spirit of God that they bring a reproach on Christianity, on the church, and even bring themselves in harm's way. And if we would just learn to hear from God and do what He tells us to do, how many of you know we'd turn this world upside down? Amen? God would manifest His glory and His kingdom in an awesome way if we just do what He tells us to do. Amen? Praise God. So, we've been doing this particular shorter series on the leading of the Holy Spirit. And this is going to be a conclusion to it today. But I do want to let you know that back in 2015, a long, long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, Pastor Trey taught a much longer, more extensive series on how to hear from God and be led by the Holy Spirit, which is located on our website, free of charge. So you can go there and listen to it as many times as you want and go to the depth that you desire to go. But right now, for the way the Holy Spirit is leading us, we're just going over some basic things that will keep us in the middle of God's will and learning to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, what we've talked about in part one of this series, we talked about that how the children of Israel, when they were led in the wilderness, how they had a cloud, a supernatural experience, a supernatural entity, if you would, that led them through the wilderness in every place they should go. But what we learned in part one of this series was they still did not enter into the promised land, even though the cloud was leading them. And why was that? Because they did not give heed to Moses. Because they did not listen to him. And because they did not hear what he was saying as being God's word to them, they rejected God's primary instructions that would keep them in the middle of God's will, and therefore the whole first generation of Israel died in the wilderness and never went into the promised land, save two people. Amen? So we saw that Moses is a type of the word of God, because he wrote by far more scripture than anybody else did. He was the mouthpiece that delivered God's commandments to his people. So we looked at him as the type of the Word of God, showing us that while we want to be Spirit-led, we want to be led by the Holy Spirit in our lives, we've got to esteem God's Word in our life first. And why is that? Because just as the Holy Spirit, we've learned this in this calendar year, just as the Holy Spirit is who helps you to understand the Word of God better, likewise the Word of God is what helps you to understand the leading of the Holy Spirit better. The more time I spend in the Word of God, hiding His Word in my heart, as the psalmist said, "Your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Sin just means to miss the mark. So you could say, if you're sinning, you're not being led, right? So if I hide His Word in my heart, then I can assure myself that I won't ever miss the mark, that I'll always be led, because it puts us in a position, I would say this, it puts us on the frequency that God's communicating on. And see, that's really ultimately how we hear from God better. You know, most of us think we don't hear from God very well, and the reason why is we're operating on the AM, and He's on the FM. How many of you know if you're trying to pick up an FM station and you're on AM, you're not going to hear much, but that was Pastor Trey and not a mess up with the audio here. But the point is this, is that that's what most of us are hearing all day. We're trying to hear from God, but we got to get on His frequency. How do we get on His frequency? By hiding His Word in our heart, living on praise station, being constantly thankful, worshiping God, praising Him, and we keep ourselves where we can now hear from Him better. Amen? So that was an important lesson. If you missed that, go back and hear it. Then last week, we then went into the cloud and how the cloud did indeed lead them. But we learned a very important lesson. We learned that even though the children of Israel, under the old covenant, were led by a physical cloud in the sky, that's not the primary way that God's children are going to be led today. Why is that? Because the cloud is a type of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit isn't without, meaning He's not external. He's not on the outside. Where is He? Inside. So we're not led by the cloud on the outside. We're led by the cloud on the inside. Amen. So that's how we need to learn to be led, listening to our heart, listening to the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And don't expect some writing in the clouds, fingers on the wall, or all this other stuff. God will lead us through these external methods sometimes. But how many of you have learned that's few and far between? I can probably count on two hands how many times God has led me through a very supernatural external way. But man, thousands upon thousands of times, the Lord has more led me through the inner witness on the inside of me. So we looked over at Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And in these passages of Scripture, we learned that the basis of all of this is relationship. Having a personal relationship with God. Having fellowship with the Most High. Why? Because this is so important that when you're led by your heart, the heart is deceitfully wicked, right? And it's easy to miss it, particularly when it's not God audibly declaring, you need to do this. So therefore, we need to have personal relationship with God so that we are in, again, the frequency to hear from Him. Amen? So that was a very important point. But then we looked at verse 14 that says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." Now, what's very important to learn about that verse is this. It says, if you are a son of God, you are led by the Spirit of God. But how many people, the words that come out of their mouth are this, I wish I was led by the Spirit of God better. I just don't seem to be led by the Spirit of God. This scripture says, if you're a child of God, if you're born again, child of God, you are led by the Spirit of God. So what that shows me is the first step into being better led by the Holy Spirit is faith that I am led. Which faith doesn't walk by sight or by experiences, right? Faith is believing it even when you might not have experienced it. So we got to line up our words with the words of the Good Shepherd that said in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice and are led by me." So what I need to declare is, God, you are my Good Shepherd, and I thank you. Today, I am led by the Spirit of God. Today, I hear your voice, and I recognize it. I know it. So thank you, Lord, that you have said this is my inheritance, and I'll have some of that. Amen? Glory be to God. So, we're led by the Spirit of God. But how does the Holy Spirit lead us? We looked at verse 16 of Romans chapter 8, and we saw that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Amen? So what that shows me is the way we know we're saved is the Holy Spirit just bearing witness and saying, I'm a child of God. I just know. That's why I love to argue with atheists, because they want to get on that intellectual level and try to prove all this stuff. I said, look, baby, you are not going to be able to convince me there's no water in this pool when I'm doing backstrokes in it. Amen. I already know, because the Holy Ghost is bearing witness with my spirit. Amen? So, I have the witness on the inside of me. So, if the witness is showing me something is important, that I am a child of God, then guess what? The Holy Spirit's also going to communicate to us in like fashion on other things. Who you're to marry, what church you're to go to, what job you're to take. The Holy Ghost is going to bear witness with you on the inside. So we looked at three main ways that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with us. The first one was, you're just going to know. You'll just know something. So we got to pay attention to those things on the inside of us that we can't necessarily put our finger on all the time. That's just like a, I don't know about that. That doesn't seem right. But we've all raised our hands in this church that said there's been times in our life where we knew we weren't supposed to do something or we were supposed to do something and we went contrary to that and we regretted it later. So we got to learn to pay attention to those knowings on the inside of us. We also saw that our desires can be an indicator of the inward witness on the inside of us. We looked at Psalm 37, verse 4 that says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Meaning that if I am delighting myself in Him, fellowship, relationship, praise, all those things I described earlier, if I'm doing that, then He will put His desires in my heart, which will be in line with His will for me. So I know a lot of times what I'm supposed to do based on I just have a desire to do it or I don't have a desire to do it. And leadership here will attest to this. I'm slow moving on some things. Seemingly slow moving. And you know why? Because just because I have something going on, like an emotional response, or you got to do this. It's like the car salesman will do. What do? You got to buy this right now. You smell that car? Ooh, it smells good. You need this car right now. Don't leave this parking lot until you get in on this deal right now. This is a limited time offer. Right? Pressure to make a decision now. I'll tell you, I never make decisions when I'm feeling that pressure. Ever. I don't care if I miss it. That's right. It's wisdom. And that is the important thing to be led by when it comes to all this. Let the emotions subside, particularly when it comes to the weightier matters, which we'll get into this today. But then thirdly, we saw that not only is it our knower, not only is it our desires on the inside, but it's also peace. Be led by what you have a peace about. So we went into all these things, very good in-depth teaching last week. I encourage you to go and get in on that because that's important for what we're going to build on today. What we're going to look at today is when it comes to the bigger, weightier, and more risky decisions that we have to make, are there things that we can do to safeguard ourselves from missing it? Because it seems really subtle. I look back at certain things that I've done before where I was obviously led, and boy, it could have been really easy, been a very easy decision not to go and take a certain step that ultimately led me on this path that God has for me. So how can I know that I know that I know when I'm making the right decision? Well, we've got some good wisdom to learn from that today. So let's go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Glory be to God. Amen. We got some good, important points to learn today. You know that, like I said earlier, this is one of the reasons why some people suffer heartache and deal with unnecessary setbacks and delays in their life. It's because they're not being led. You know, and it's easy to blame it on God, isn't it? And most people in the church today do that, don't they? Oh, yes, they will say that they'll make a dumb decision, and then something will happen that's bad, and then these religious people will turn around and blame it on God and say, well, you never know what God's going to do. Everything happens for a reason. And you remember we addressed that one last week. Everything happens for a reason. That's one of the most dumb, obvious comments that's out there. Yes, everything happens for a reason. And sometimes the reason is because we made a poor decision. But blame shifting at the max does this. Well, it's just God. He's sovereign. He's in control. So he must have known. No. You know, recognize sometimes that I didn't make the right decision. And I'll come and tell you that. And there's been plenty of times I've made poor decisions and didn't do the right thing and wasn't as quick to repent about it as I needed to be, right? And that was not God's fault. That would be my fault. Amen? So, you know, in fact, go over to Psalm 105. Let me show you something. Hold your place there in Hebrews 12. Let's look at something here. You know, regarding this cloud, this is important. Psalm 105 is got a good description of what happened with the children of Israel in the wilderness. I want you to notice something that it says here. Psalm 105, verse 39. He talks about this cloud here and says what it does for us. Look at this. Psalm 105, 39 says, he spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light, amen, in the night. Now, what we need to understand was happening here was when they were being led through the wilderness, I think sometimes we separate what was happening in the Bible with what we're living in today. The wilderness that they were traveling through is what we would call today Saudi Arabia. So to travel through the wilderness and desert of Saudi Arabia would have been very arduous, would it not? I mean, we're talking, how many of you know deserts in the daytime are very, very hot. And at nighttime, they're very, very cold. So in order for God's people to travel through this desert or this wilderness, they needed some divine protection from the elements. And right here it tells us that he spread a cloud for them during the day for a covering. A covering from what? The sun. From burning them up, amen. and a fire to give them light in the night. Now, I would suppose they weren't traveling too much in the evening time, so why would they need the light? Well, how many of you know, in the wilderness, in the desert, there are some little critters out there. Scorpions, snakes, other animals that could cause some problems. I mean, I've watched movies. I don't like to camp out very much. I'm not one of these people. I like to be around the shower, amen? But I'll just tell you this. I've watched movies, and I've seen people, they got that campfire for a reason. And it's to keep them warm, but it's also to let them see the eyes of anything watching them outside the camp. So I guarantee you that's exactly what this fire was there to do, protect them from the elements. But let's just look at something hypothetically. Say it was all of us. We were the ones being led by this cloud by day and a fire by night. What if, I'll just use myself as an example because I don't want to expose anybody else here. What if Pastor Trey just said, well, I got this fire here, but I'm just going to go do my own thing. I'm going to get outside the camp, and I'm going to go out here. And I end up getting eaten by something. I better not have any of the elders here standing over my casket saying, well, the Lord works in mysterious ways. And God must have just had a plan. He needed another angel in heaven and all the stuff we say. No, that would have been Pastor Trey's dumb decision not to abide in the secret place of the Most High and dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Right? You know, Psalm 91:1, perfect psalm of protection. You ought to have that one on your refrigerator and be confessing that over yourself and children every morning. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, it starts with verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you're not doing that verse, everything else he promises us in the rest of the verses don't apply. Amen. So what does he mean, under the shadow of the Almighty? This is what I would describe this as. Moses wouldn't have been thinking this when he wrote this. Yeah, Moses wrote Psalm 91. But he says, under the shadow of the Almighty, I would describe this as God's protective umbrella. So it'd be like if we were getting a torrential downpour today. All right, and so now I am going to use somebody as an example. And Betty Jean is leaving the church today, and I'm standing outside with an umbrella. And I say, Betty Jean, I'm going to walk you to your car so you don't get wet. What if while I'm walking, she's walking a little too quick or a little too slow? If she gets wet, she ain't covered, and that wouldn't have been Pastor Trey's fault. Right? You see what I'm saying? We got to learn to walk step in step with the Lord, abiding with Him, staying with Him. This is being led by the Holy Spirit, amen? And this is where we walk in the protection of God. You follow what I'm saying? So again, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I got some other stuff on that. If you get my notes, you need to read those because there's some stuff I'm skipping over right now for sake of time. It's Labor Day, hallelujah, tomorrow. And I don't want to preach into Labor Day. Hebrews 12:1. Now, you understand the Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse, right? This was added by the translators for reference purposes for us, amen? So 12:1 is simply a continuation of the thoughts of chapter 11. And what is chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews? It's called the Great Hall of Fame of Faith, where he says, by faith this one did this, by faith this one did that. And he goes through all these examples that we have from Old Testament characters to where we can learn how they lived their life by faith and followed the Lord. Right? Well, in 12:1, notice what he says. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, what does this mean? Well, the word that was used for cloud here didn't just describe one of these objects in the sky. The word cloud here was more of a reference to the cloud seats that were in the Roman Colosseum. And everybody would have been aware of that during that day. We would say today they were the upper deck seats in the stadium, right? So he's saying here that we're surrounded. While we're in this arena running our race of faith, we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. And who's he talking about here? All of these people from chapter 11 that did these things by faith. Meaning, in heaven, we have people like Moses, Abraham, David, that are in the grandstands of heaven, rooting you and I on, while we're still here on the earth, walking by faith and not by sight. Do you see that? And he's saying here, we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses for a purpose. And you know what that is? It's we can learn from their mistakes. You know, people will tell you in the world today, you're going to learn by hard knocks. That's not the best way to learn. You know what the best way to learn is? From other people's hard knocks. I would much rather learn from somebody else doing something and making a mistake. That's why you'll find out your pastor is one of the quickest people to ask questions, particularly on things I don't have experience on. I will go to people and say, hey, how do you do this with the car? How do you do this in your home? And all these different things, and ask for. Because I'm of the persuasion that I don't have to know everything. Right, Jackie? I just need to know everybody that knows everything. And know who to call. Amen? And then I learn from other people's mistakes. And that's what the Old Testament's written for. Did you know that? One of the purposes of the Scriptures is to teach us how not to blow it and make mistakes like a lot of these people did. Like, for example, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, which all just perfectly lays out the rule and the reign of all the kings of Israel and Judah, right? And how many of you know a lot of them made a lot of mistakes? It's constant how they constantly made mistakes. You know why that's there? So you don't make the same mistakes. You learn from it. Amen? So we've got witnesses to help us not make mistakes, which leads me into my point. When it comes to being led by the Holy Spirit, we have another cloud of witnesses that leads us so that we don't make mistakes on those bigger, weightier, more risky decisions we have to make. So a very wise question of everybody in this church right now would be, Pastor, tell me what these witnesses are. Are you interested in knowing? Yeah. Well, let's look at them. We've got three witnesses that we can confirm everything the Lord's leading us to by. Number one, yourself. You're one of the witnesses. Number two, God. He's the other witness. He should really be number one. And number three, other people. So what do we have? God, yourself, and other people. What do you mean by this, Pastor? Well, let's look at this. What are the God witnesses? Let's look at that one first. Well, the Scriptures would be one, right? God has given us His Word to be a witness to us. Like I just said, from those Old Testament Scriptures, you learn from that, and God's showing you, don't do this, make sure you do these things, right? Another one would be the Holy Spirit on the inside of you who is speaking and bearing witness of something like we've looked at already, right? Another one might be some other supernatural event where God maybe speaks to you audibly or gives you a dream or something like that. Other times that the Lord speaks to you. So we're talking about the God witness here. That's one of the witnesses that we have. But how many of you know the Bible teaches us that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established? Right? Now, what that was specifically talking about when it was written was, if you've got an accusation, if you need to convict somebody of something, you need to have two or three witnesses. It's like the Bible teaches us in the New Testament that you don't receive an accusation against an elder except on two or three witnesses. Why is that? Because one witness isn't always enough. They can have a perverted slant on the way they're viewing something. So you have to have multiple ones. So what this has to do with is this. It's not enough just to have the God witness or the yourself witness or the other people witness when it comes to the weightier matters and riskier decisions. It's wise to have every word from God be established in the mouth of two or three of these witnesses. Why is that? Well, it should be enough just to have the God witness. If God comes and tells you to do something, Judy, bless God, you need to do it. It's not God that's flawed. It's our interpretation that can be flawed. For example, If the Lord gave me a dream last night, and it was from God, and it was directive, you know, telling me what to do, well, how many of you know my interpretation of what he meant might be wrong? Like, for example, Pharaoh had the dreams. You remember that? And Joseph was the one that interpreted that. And as best as I can remember, one of the dreams that he had was of these cows that were just basically shrunken in. They were starving and all this kind of stuff. Well, how many of you know Pharaoh could have saw that and could have said, well, we're going to have some cows die, so let's get some more cows. And what would have happened? Because of his misinterpretation of the dream, then he's going to have a bunch of cows die. Do you follow what I'm saying? So our interpretation of the God witness can be wrong. It can be incorrect a lot of times. So when it comes to that, we need other witnesses. Like in that case, Pharaoh had the dream. He had the God witness. But thank God he had a Joseph, another person who would come to give the interpretation of said dream. And that's what led him into the right path. So that's my point, is that we need all of these witnesses. So we got the God witness. Then we got the yourself witness. What's the yourself witness? It would be your own spirit bearing witness to something. It could be wisdom on the inside of you. Somebody said that earlier. That's a big one. It's just having simple wisdom on the inside of you through experience and stuff like that, and your spirit's bearing witness with something. So you need to feel good about it. Like, for example, somebody can come up to you and say, yay, thus saith the Lord. Blah, 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 and they give you all this good word. How many of you know you need to listen to your own spirit on the inside of you to bear witness with what you're hearing that it really is from God? Why? Because people can miss it. So your spirit needs to bear witness with it. But there's a third and final witness that I think is very important, and this is what few people do when it comes to being led. And you know what it is? Other people. Surround yourself with a cloud of witnesses. Other good, wise counsel. And don't be arrogant to thinking, because I heard this, bless God, and because I've got all this stuff going on, that I'm hearing from God correctly. You can miss it. It's hard to swallow that sometimes because we think we're flawless. I can miss it. So when it comes to some of these bigger, weightier things, you know what I do? When it comes to, like, there's been times where I've had to address things here in the church, okay? And while I feel certain conviction that I need to say something a certain way or I need to do it this certain way, thank God we got a leadership team and I got other good wise people around me that, you know what I've done before? I'll go to them and say, I'm planning on saying this. This is what I'm planning on doing. What do you feel in your heart about this? Right? And it doesn't mean I'm going to do what they tell me, but it means I'm going to weigh it all out together. Because how many of you know, you might be certainly convinced you're supposed to do something, but if you got six people telling you that know God and are led by the Holy Spirit themselves telling you that's not right, you might want to listen to that. Because again, it's a very deceptive thing. It's easy to miss it. All right? So we've got these several witnesses that we should be surrounded with so that we're not led astray. So tip number one, surround yourself with a great cloud of witnesses. Meaning other people. Learn to detect your own spirit. Learn what God's witnesses are. And surround yourself, like I said, with other people so that you can bounce things off people. This will keep you out of a world of hurt, I promise you. All right? But go back to Hebrews 12 and look at verse 2, because I'm going to tell you another thing that's very important. Tip number 2 to being accurately led by the Holy Spirit. And you ready for this one? It took me a long time to think this one up, so at least humor me and say that's good when you hear this. You ready for this? Follow the cloud and not the crowd. Follow the cloud, not the crowd. How many of you know it is real easy to be led astray by doing what everybody else is doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's look at some of the people that are in Florida this week. Well, how many of you know that when the pressure's on and there's all these things happening, You don't know where this hurricane's going to go. Well, they might set up an evacuation or something like that. Well, how many of you know you still got to be led by the Holy Spirit in what you do? Right? Got to hear from God. Do what He tells you to do, ultimately. Again, listening to wise counsel around you, but weighing it out with the peace, with the desires, and the knowing on the inside of me. Amen? But look at chapter 12, verse 2. After he talked about being surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Now, when you see this phrase, looking unto, in the Greek it literally means to look away from everything else and only unto Jesus. Like Peter should have done when he was walking on the water, right? He's walking on the water while he's looking unto Jesus, but when he started looking at the wind and the waves around him, he began to sink. Likewise, that's a quick, surefire way for us to begin to sink in our life, is taking our eyes off Jesus. But the point the writers of Hebrews are saying right here is, while we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we've got one person who lived a perfect life of being Spirit-led, walking by faith, walking in love, and His name is Jesus. So if you ultimately want to learn from anybody how to be led, look at Jesus, who was led perfectly. Amen? And he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Amen. So, we're not following the crowd or the majority's opinion. And I'm not just talking about people, because there was a lot of things Jesus was not led by. And what you got to understand is, what we are not to be led by, that crowd, and not just what we are to be led by. Right? So, let's look at some things Jesus was not led by. You ready for this? Number one, Jesus was not led by fear. He was never led around by fear. Now, how many of you know the majority of people on this planet are led by fear? They're afraid to do something. They're afraid of the consequences. Fear is driving them. And fear is actually the opposite of faith. I think a good acronym for it is FEAR. False expectations appearing real. And that's where the devil operates. You know that? He's leading you around by a lie and by a deception that something could happen. And ultimately what he's trying to do is not just make you afraid, but make you make decisions based on the fear that gets you out of the will of God. Right? Remember this always. Fear, here's Pastor Trey's definition of fear. Fear is faith in the devil. Fear is faith in the devil. It's believing what he said and acting accordingly. Just like we're supposed to be walking by faith, doing what God tells us to do, even though we hadn't seen it. When you're afraid of something, you hadn't seen it. You're just afraid of seeing it. Right? So fear is where the devil operates. Jesus was not led by this. Number two, Jesus was not money led. He was not led by money. He was not led by finances, but how many people are led to invest here, to withdraw money here, move money around like this, and make decisions based on where the money is? That'll get you into a world of hurt, particularly when we live in an economy that is not sure. That's why you want to make your decisions on what you do with your finances, not based on popular opinion. Again, don't follow the crowd. Follow the cloud. What's the Holy Spirit leading you to do? And you do that come hell or high water. Amen. But again, if you're going to be money, if you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, you got to find out what the Word of God says you're supposed to be doing with your money. And do it. Because many people say, well, bless God, I'm just led. Which is my next point. Don't be feeling led. Jesus was not led by his feelings. Because there's many Christians out there that say this, say, well, I just believe in being led. And they're led to do this one day, and they're led to do this the other day, and they're led to do this and that. They're being emotion-led, not Spirit-led. If the Holy Spirit is leading us, then I can guarantee you, if He leads you to do something, to plant in something, He's not going to uproot you in a week in a month. Probably not a year. And you're like, when's it going to happen? Probably not when your flesh wants it to. In other words, there's going to be a temptation to move and change and do different things because we've just become impatient. Right? It's like, that's why I'm always looking at the ones that make emotional decisions. They're led by emotional decisions. And we've seen it before, man. I mean, we've seen people that they come in, like the book of Jude says, I was taught on this the other night, they're like shooting stars. What do I mean? You go out there and you're watching shooting stars, if you blink, you can miss one. It's like that with most Christians. You blink, they're gone. We've got to be more spirit-led than emotion, feeling-led. Jesus was not that. Next, don't be head-led. Don't lean to your own understanding. Jesus didn't do that. A lot of times the Lord will tell you to minister to somebody by spitting on the ground, making mud, and putting it on their eyes. Or the person comes up for prayer, spit on their tongue. You know why the Lord would lead Jesus to do that a lot of times? Because I believe he was getting people into faith. How many of you know, if you came up here and Pastor Trey was going to pray for you today and say, all right, what's you got? I got a speech impediment. Okay. What? Open your mouth. How many of you know that's going to take some faith on your part to let Pastor Trey do that? Thus positioning you to get some results. Amen. So, head-led. Don't be head-led. Don't just do what makes sense. Lean into your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall what? Direct your path. So then, here's another one. Don't be opportunity-led. Oh man, how many times do we do that? Oh, it's God! This opportunity has opened up. You got a limited time offer. You can invest in this today. And you're the one person chosen to be able to invest in this. Well, thank God. I got an opportunity. Yeah, and you're probably going to have the devil eat your lunch and pop the bag. Don't be opportunity led. Sometimes opportunities can be God, but what are we supposed to be doing? Listening on the inside of us. So when it comes to all of this, be led by the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and not by all these crowd of witnesses you got out here. You following what I'm saying? So if Jesus wasn't head-led, if Jesus wasn't feeling-led, if Jesus wasn't emotion-led, if Jesus wasn't money-led, if Jesus wasn't led by any of these things, what was He led by? Great question. He was led by the Holy Spirit, but what did that look like? How many of you know you read in the Gospels, you find this phrase constantly. And being moved with compassion, Jesus healed the sick. Jesus did that. Jesus did this. He was moved by love. Led by love. So if you want to know a surefire way to safeguard yourself to not making decisions, what is love to do right here? You see what I'm saying? Again, people are led by all kinds of crazy, squirrely stuff. But most of the time, it's not love. You know? Like, I've seen people, they trample over other people to get to something or for some opportunity, and they're hurting other people. How could God be in that? He ain't. God will always lead us by the compassion on the inside of us. So when it comes to what am I to do? How am I to do this? How? Ask yourself this question. How am I loving this person, this group, whatever it might be that the decision's in? How is love manifested in this? Amen. And when you learn to live that way right there, because I'm being led by God when I'm being led by love. Why? Because God is love. You following what I'm saying? This is how the gifts of the Spirit flow. Amen? Do you know what it says over in 1 Corinthians 12:31, I believe it is? He talked about the gifts of the Spirit throughout this whole chapter. Talk about tongues and prophecy and doing things decently and in order and so forth. Then he says at the very last verse, he says, and earnestly covet the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And what he's saying right there is, it is our responsibility to desire, to hunger for, and to seek after the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because we will be filled to the degree that we're seeking it and our heart is inclined to it, right? So, earnestly covet and desire the best gifts, yet I show you a more excellent way. What's that more excellent way, Paul? Well, again, no chapter and verse here. What's the next verse? Love. He gets into the great love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. So a more excellent way to earnestly covet the best gifts is to what? To desire love. Because the Holy Spirit's going to lead me by love. Like, for example, I might be standing here and ministering, and then all of a sudden just, you know, and usually I'll have to hear it a couple of three times, but I'll see somebody, and my heart just goes out to them. Love just goes out to them. And, okay, and then this happens again. And then I'm still talking, and then this happens again. What is happening here? The Lord is leading me to minister to that person. I might not know what I'm supposed to say to him. I might not know what I'm supposed to do. But I know love, or God, is leading me. And then go and act on it. And it might just be that your heart's going out toward the person, and then you just go over to him, and you're just like, I will be obedient. And you just go over to them and you say, I don't know what to say, Lord, but I believe your heart's going out to them right now. And you just come over to them and you say, I just want to tell you I love you. And I really appreciate you. And I just believe the Lord's heart goes out for you right now. And he wants to let you know it's all going to be okay. He's got everything covered. As we looked at that earlier, everything is covered. Just felt led to tell you that. Now, you and I don't know when we're doing that how much that might mean to that person. You know what I'm saying? I had somebody tell me yesterday, say, hey, we went to eat with such and such, and I want you to know this person told me how much they loved you and Shannon and how much they appreciated you. And this is a person we don't have contact with. And you know what I said? I was like, it's really a shame that, I'm saying this inside of me, it's really a shame that this person had to tell me that. If you really value somebody and you appreciate them and you love them, I've heard it said this way, give them the roses while they're living. How many of us, we wait till somebody dies and that's when we buy them a big bouquet of flowers? If you love and appreciate someone, tell them. Communicate it and go to them and just say, you just look like you need a hug today. And know this, that it is just as supernatural to be led to go tell somebody you love and appreciate them with no other word given to them as raising somebody from the dead to that person when they need it. Right? I mean, how many of you have ever been in that situation before where you felt alone, you felt invisible, and you felt like nobody cared, and then you just went somewhere, or somebody just called you out of the blue and said, I just want to call and tell you I love and appreciate you. You know what I hear when that happens? I hear God telling me he loves and appreciates me through his person. How many of you want to be that person today that is used by the Lord? An honorable vessel, as the Bible talks about. I want to be God's fine china that he pulls out on the best occasion when everything is important, when there is a big deal going on. But how many of you know we're not ever going to get to the place to where we're used at the best occasion if we're not opening ourselves up to be used in the more base situations? So I encourage you to do something. As your pastor, I encourage you that when you come to church on Sundays, on Thursdays, on Wednesdays, whenever it is, before you come, pray and say, Lord, I'm not coming just to make this a spectator event today. I'm thankful for the time I'm led into awesome worship and that I'm fed the Word of God, but I want to come and be a light to people. I want to love on somebody. And pray about it before you come and say, Lord, show me the invisible person in the room. Show me the person that needs a word of encouragement, that needs a word. And then when you come, you're not just sitting there, plop there, waiting for something to happen for you. You're coming being a participant, and you're looking around for the person that's there. And you're like, my heart keeps going out for this person. And just go and love on them. Go give them something. Even write them a card before you come. Amen. If we did this, if we loved well like this, monki karati enchete simonkuloti eshe, monkalavati simonkunde, brandedish namakabato, olo isinkon brangledeje mondosi kanda. Vrambandirish nemenkoto, sikunde mansa, elado funkunde shikindi ambasakala, doroshimanko. For verily I have said to you, that when you are faithful in little, you will be made ruler over much. So when you care for my sheep, when you feed my lambs, then I can entrust you with the weightier matters. Then the more risky decisions that you would make will become crystal clear, for you are walking in my light, you are walking in my ways, and you are being led by my spirit, which is a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. So when you are led by this compassion, you are operating in the realm of me, where the supernatural will come in and dovetail with it, and then you will see and know that I am God in your midst, and you will know that the power is present in this place, says the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God is trying to get something through us. Amen. And when he can learn to use us, when we can learn to submit ourselves to him using us, then we're in a position, amen, for him to trust us with bigger things like he just told us. Amen? But it's in the little things. And many times people see the little things as insignificant. They are really big and they take us into a bigger realm. So make yourself a good steward today. Choose to be a faithful, good steward today and watch him entrust you with bigger and better things. Can I get an amen? Well, let's stand on our feet then. Thank you, Jesus.